Welcome to the Lean Smarts Podcast. Fun and simple tips and tools for creating lean cultures everywhere.
Hey, thanks again for joining me for another episode of the Lean Smarts Podcast. If you've been following me from the start, thank you. I'm so glad you're still here and enjoying the show. And if you're new, welcome. I try to keep this podcast short and sweet and focused on the topic at hand, although today we might get a little bit longer. If you want easy access to the show notes, just go to www.leansmarts.com/008 to get them for episode 8. Don't forget to subscribe today too, especially since I tend to publish new episodes about every other week. And if you want to make me really happy, whether you are new or familiar to the show, submit a review. It only takes a minute to do it, but of course reviews give me good feedback and also help to get this podcast noticed in a noisy world. Lastly, if you are a YouTube junkie like I am, I've got an important announcement for you. If you are tired of searching for good lean videos on YouTube, I've put together over 60 of my favorite lean videos into a free course at Lean Smarts. It's my master collection. You can go to leansmarts.com, click on courses, and enroll now to get access. You can use these videos for your own education or take them to your next training, meeting, or Kaizen event. They will save you a lot of time scouring over YouTube for that perfect video. Today, I'm talking about the concept of standard work and why it is crucial to your success with Lean. I'm actually especially excited to talk to you about standard work because it is a very, very undervalued Lean tool. Most people don't care much about it. They would rather be learning how to do Kaizen or value stream mapping or 5S or some other Lean thing. I do keyword research, of course, at Lean Smarts, just for online marketing, and I've noticed that there are 75 times more Google searches a month for the word Kaizen than for the word standard work. I find that very interesting and also disappointing, as I will go on to explain in this episode. So what I'm going to do is focus on three things for today. What is standard work? Different types of standard work, and then give you four reasons why standard work matters. So let's get started by talking about what standard work is. Standard work is the best known method for producing a product or service. Here's a few more things to help define what standard work is and is not, and how it works. I like to say it's a recipe. Standard work has ingredients such as the materials used, the sequence of steps to take, the timing for those steps, the number of people needed, and the equipment used. Of course, it can also include expert advice and techniques to use as well. Standard work is a recipe because it combines these ingredients in the best known way. It's the mixture that makes it the best. But at the same time, the mixture is subject to continuous improvement. It's not set in stone. People can have this idea that standard work is a fixed thing, like it's set in stone and it never changes. But that's incorrect. It's a living document that is constantly changing and evolving by way of continuous improvement and scientific experimentation. You see, if you think of one of your favorite family recipes, it's probably been passed down many years, maybe even multiple generations. It's been perfected over time through the experimentation of many, many people. It was never set in stone as this is the end-all be-all way to bake a cookie. Instead, the moment one of your relatives conceived of a better way to do it, they updated the recipe. This is how standard work is supposed to function within an organization. What often happens instead is that people don't maintain the recipes, their standard work, and instead they do it their own way offline. no one is following the recipe to the T, and you don't actually know what makes one person's cookie so magical. This happens in real life, but it's no way to run an organization. Lean organizations, on the other hand, develop high respect for standards. Standard work is a part of everything they do. It's used in manufacturing, yes, but it's also used in the office, in sales and marketing, and also leadership. Even the plant manager or CEO has leader standard work in a lean organization, and it describes the best known mixture of leadership activities and behaviors that he or she does every day. It may standardize a lower percentage of his or her time compared to a frontline team member who has far more predictable and repetitive work, but even leadership has standard work. I should clear something up, though, before I move forward to different types of standard work, and that's this. Standard work also goes by the name of standardized work. Standardized work is the more traditional way to name it, and I think it's the better way. But it appears that standard work is more popular. At least when it comes to usage online, people tend to search for standard work more than standardized work. Standardized work is, though, in my opinion, a better way to name it, because it suggests that the work is subject to better standardization. It can be standardized again, whereas standard work can suggest that the work is fixed and standard and not subject to change. But I've chosen to use standard work in this podcast and throughout my content in order to capture the attention of a larger audience who are already using that phrase. Now let's move on to different types of standard work. There are many different types of standard work. In fact, I suppose there are an infinite number of ways to do it. The truth is, I could pick up a crumpled piece of paper, scribble a few notes on it describing a process, and then use that as my standard work. Don't let there be anything magical or mysterious about it. It's just the best known method to do something. However it's documented doesn't matter, as long as it contains the method. That being said, there are a few ways I've seen it done that I can recommend. They each have their pros and cons, so keep that in mind. And if you want to see visual examples of them, check out my Lean 101 page on standard work at Lean Smarts. I'll start with the simple, move towards the complex, and then end with the innovative. So the first one we'll consider is the simple 8-step process. It's a one-page document with 8 pictures on it. Of course, you could have many more or less pictures or pages depending on the length of the process you're wanting to document. But one page can comfortably fit 8 pictures, hence the name 8-step process. Under each picture is a brief bulleted list of key points. In this way, you can quickly and visually define a process. It's actually very effective in many applications, but it may lend itself more heavily to less regulated industries or smaller organizations. The next one I want to discuss is traditional standardized work. This is the stuff that is heavily leveraged at Toyota. It's permeated much of the automotive industry, but also spread to countless others as well. Traditional standardized work applies basic concepts of time studies and industrial engineering to define a process in space and time. That means it'll draw the physical floor plan of a process and the steps taken by the operator, along with the time requirements for each step. There are 4 primary documents required for standard work: the standardized work process capacity sheet, the standardized work time observation sheet, the standardized work combination table, and the standardized work instruction sheet. What a mouthful. I'll briefly talk to each sheet, but really you should see an example of them at Lean Smarts. Check out the show notes for this episode for some handy links. Again, it's leansmarts.com/008. So the process capacity sheet lists each piece of equipment in the process and calculates its capacity. This capacity is important in order to stay mindful of potential bottlenecks with customer demand. If demand is higher than the capacity of a piece of equipment, then you've got a problem. This sheet is also used to measure the cycle time of equipment for use in the other sheets. The time observation sheet is used for recording time studies of the process. Typically, 10 or more trials are conducted, and then a lowest repeatable time is taken from those 10 trials. This lowest repeatable time represents the best demonstrated time that can be achieved while working the process. And that becomes the basis for continuous improvement. The combination table combines the time studies obtained from the process capacity sheet and the time observation sheet. We get the machine time from the capacity sheet and the man time from the observation sheet. These man and machine times are then graphed on the combination table, which then allows for you to visualize the interaction of operators and machines over the cycle. This sheet functions much like sheet music, in that it coordinates the activities of operators and equipment in time so that they remain synchronized and in step with the overall cycle. So if you're familiar with music and musical instruments and playing in a larger orchestra or band, it's kind of like that. The last is the instruction sheet. This is a summary sheet for the operator that identifies his or her work sequence, the time required by each step, and a diagram of the walk path on the production floor. Again, I highly recommend checking out the show notes for some good visuals on each of these documents, because it's kind of a mouthful to put in a podcast, and a picture's 1,000 words, right? The next example is TWI job instruction. This is a method also used at Toyota, but that originates from the United States as far back as World War II. It's essentially training instruction documentation, but it has a very powerful design. The job element sheet used in TWI job instruction is a standalone standard work document. It contains three primary criteria. First, there's the major steps of the process. That's perhaps no surprise. But the next criteria are the key points associated with each major step. These are the make it or break it key points that make all the difference for the team member doing the work. A key point could be related to quality, safety, or just a tip or technique. Lastly, the third criterion is the reasons why. This is the reason why the major step and key points are done the way they are done. It's justification for the process as it stands, which is useful for adults and also helpful for encouraging continuous improvement. So on one page, you'll typically see three columns from left to right: major steps, key points, and then the reasons why. TWI job instruction is also used following a very disciplined training process, which I won't get into today, but it's worth investigating further. So far, we've looked at simple examples like the 8-step process, then more complex examples like traditional standardized work and TWI job instruction. Now I want to look at an innovative example, which is the use of video. Video can be used very effectively for standard work, depending upon how you structure it and use it. Of course, this method requires completely different support systems and equipment, such as cameras, a video hosting service, and some kind of screen to replay video. But some companies find ways to get past these hurdles to use video to tremendous effect. FastCap is the simplest example I've seen, who use iPhones and upload videos directly to an unlisted YouTube channel. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, then maybe video is worth 1,000,000. Of course, it all depends on the presentation and editing skills of the person creating the video, but there are some cool things happening with it. More recently, a friend showed me a company that puts a GoPro camera on an operator's head, has them run the process, and record it in video. you know, one of those cool videos where you can see the person's hand stretching around the screen as you watch from the person's point of view. The video then gets uploaded to a software that allows TWI instruction elements to be embedded with the video. So basically, team members and trainers can replay the video on an iPad or similar device and pause, skip forward, or skip back to watch each major step, the key points, and the reasons why. I mean, that's pretty awesome. All right, lastly, before we conclude this episode, I want to overview four reasons why all of this matters, because I've given some definition to what standard work is and given some examples of standard work in industry, but I want to talk about why this stuff matters and why it's so important. As I mentioned at the start, standard work is less popular than other lean tools, and it shouldn't be that way. So here's a few reasons why it's so important. Number one, it reduces variation and preserves output. The first reason why standard work matters is because it reduces variation and preserves output. When you don't have a standard in place, your process performance is variable and all over the place. Said another way, there is a best known way to perform the work, but not everyone is following it. Therefore, the variation is causing performance losses. You are losing output because you don't have a standard in place. So a good reason to implement standard work is to reduce this variation and preserve output. Reason number two, it's the baseline for continuous improvement and making Kaizen stick. Another reason why it matters is because standard work is the baseline for continuous improvement. It makes Kaizen stick. If you're going to claim Kaizen and continuous improvement, then you're claiming that your new way is better than an old way. But what old way is there if you don't have a standard? If you can't point to a standard defining how things are done, how can you claim that your new way is better? You might just be adding to the noise. Or worse yet, creating yet another way of doing things and adding just more variation. This is why Taishi Ono, the father of the Toyota production system, was known to have said, "Without a standard, there can be no Kaizen." If you're into Kaizen, then you should also be into standard work. Additionally, standard work makes Kaizen stick because when it is implemented and also maintained with lean management and leader standard work, it serves to sustain the gains achieved in your Kaizen. Without this in place, many improvements suffer the gravity of entropy and revert back to the old status quo. It's just human nature and the way of the world. So you got to use standard work to make your improvements stick. Reason number three, it's useful in problem solving and solving to root cause. A third reason why standard work matters is that it's useful for problem solving. In solving those problems to root cause, whenever something goes wrong, the first question to be asked is there a standard? And was the standard followed? If there is no standard, then your corrective action should be to create one. And if there is a standard, but it failed to prevent the problem, then it's easier when auditing the standard to detect for where things went wrong. In this case, your corrective action will include updating the standard to prevent the issue from coming back. Reason number four, it puts a tool in every team member's hands to participate in continuous improvement. The fourth and final reason that I'll give you for why standard work matters is that it is essential for creating team member engagement. It puts a tool in everyone's hands to participate in continuous improvement. Without this tool of standard work, you can march around all day saying, "You're empowered, go make improvements," but you haven't given them a tool or process to create those improvements. But when standard work becomes the language of the organization, and when it's used and created by every team member, then it becomes much easier for people to participate in continuous improvement and engage with Lean. The barriers to entry are lower, and team members can more reasonably contribute. Okay. Well, that covers it for this episode. It's been a doozy. We covered a lot of ground. I went over what standard work is, provided you a few examples of standard work, and also gave you 4 reasons why it's so important. Check out the show notes if you want to find some useful links, and also consider reading my Lean 101 page on standard work as well. Also, in case you forgot from the start of this episode, if you're tired of searching for Lean videos on YouTube, get my master collection for free. Just click on courses from leansmarts.com. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Lean Smarts podcast, I invite you to check out leansmarts.com. Lean Smarts is the essential resource for anyone and any organization just starting out or expanding on their lean journey. So whether you just discovered about lean and are still trying to figure it out, or you've already begun your lean journey and are looking for ways to improve your practice and culture, then Lean Smarts can help you get to the next level. With articles and videos that are fun and simple, along with training courses and other materials, Lean Smarts is the perfect place to be for anyone wanting to start, lead, or expand on their lean journey.